Hey everyone, my name is Jonathan Dahl, and I'm going to talk about advanced API design, how an awesome API can attract friends, make you rich, and change the world. Real quick, I'm a co-founder of a startup called Zencoder. We do high-scale video and audio transcoding in the cloud, which means we're basically an API to video processing. So who here has built an API before? Cool. Who here has built a website before? So actually, everyone raise your hand either time there has actually built an API, as we'll see. I'm going to go real quick through the basics of API design, what an API is, and I want to get to the more interesting topics of how to make an API actually good, how to make it easy to use, how to make it easy work well, and then talk into what this means for the future of technology. So real quick, I'll try to do this in like 2 minutes. An API is an application programming interface, which basically means it's an interface for applications. It is kind of like a user interface in that they are both interfaces. There's different kinds of APIs. You can consider like a library or an SDK to be an API for internal use. For example, in your programming language of choice, NetSSH is an API to SSH functionality. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about web service APIs. Web services are systems where applications talk to each other over a web protocol. So the ironically named Simple Object Access Protocol is one such protocol. REST is another. This is probably what you've used. REST, the REST protocol is what is now taking over web service APIs. REST is nothing but the realization that HTTP is a web service protocol. HTTP is, and the web is an API, in that HTTP is a protocol where two software systems talk to each other, a web server and a web browser. And that's what an API is. It's an interface between two software systems. With REST, you can get records, you can post records. If you've ever worked with an API, this is pretty simple. And lastly, you need some sort of data structure to transmit data via an API, so you can use XML or JSON. And that's the basics of APIs. So let's move on from there. I mentioned that I'm a co-founder of Zencoder. Our whole product is an API. We don't even really have anything that users use. We're just an API. So we have a user interface. But you don't really go to our user interface to do anything except to look at the API, to manage the API, et cetera. This is becoming sort of a growing trend in technology. Some examples of APIs that you're probably familiar with. The first is what you can kind of consider maybe like a second interface. So Flickr and Twitter and LinkedIn and PayPal and Facebook all have a user interface that's sort of a primary interface, but they have an API as a secondary interface that lets you do all sorts of really interesting things with them. Another type of API you're probably familiar with are like internal APIs. Most applications at scale are broken up into separate applications that have interfaces between them. But recently there have been a whole new sort of batch of companies and technologies like Amazon Web Services, like Twilio, like GeoLoki, that provide APIs to core technology. So Amazon Web Services provides an API to gigabytes. That's kind of cool. And Twilio provides an API to telephones. You can do a lot of really interesting things here, and this list, as you can imagine, you know, would go on and on and on if you were to look at what's happening today. The last group, just to mention real quick, is I don't really know what to call this. I'm going to call it like science fiction as an API, or science fiction APIs. Has anyone ever used PyCloud before? PyCloud is an API to like Python. You embed the PyCloud library in your Python application, and code runs in the cloud that you write on your local system. Amazon Mechanical Turk is an API to people. It's kind of interesting, kind of, potentially creepy, depending on how you look at it. So the real question is, how do you design a good API? I'm going to take some examples from our time at Zencoder. I think we have a good API we've put a lot of time into, but I don't want to make this like a talk about Zencoder. I don't want to like show my company, so we'll just pretend you don't know who this is talking about. So seriously, redacted is how all APIs should be built. Here's another tweet. People tweet about this kind of thing. Hacking up integration with redacted and recurly. I really love good APIs. They make my life as a developer suck so much less. Anyone resonate with that thought? Bad APIs are just miserable to work with, but good APIs actually can get people excited. In other words, a good API can actually be a competitive advantage for your product. Okay, so I'm going to go through about 10, 12 tips for building good APIs. This is not a comprehensive list. If we had more time, we could discuss. We don't have a ton of time today. So I'll try to go through it quickly, and maybe we'll have time at the end for questions. But tips for building a good API. First, use REST and use good REST conventions. This is the standard that almost everyone uses today, and it pays to stick with the standard. It's actually a good standard to you. The way REST works, you have verbs. You can get things, you can post things, put, delete, and you have nouns that you operate on. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward to understand. Second, make use of HTTP codes. So here's some common HTTP codes. You could just use, 200 for every success and 400 or 404 for every failure. But HTTP standard provides a lot more information, and you can actually have sort of meaningful status codes if you pick the right ones. And the ones you use for your application are not going to be the same as other people use for their app. So here's some of the ones we use. When a record is created via an API, 201 created as opposed to 200, sort of a blanket okay. We actually don't use 418. I'm a teapot. But the first company that makes like a networked teapot is going to be really excited to use that one. And there's lots more, obviously. Next, version your API. This is critical and essential. It's hard to add versioning to an API after the fact, but you need it. You absolutely need it, because if you change, here's why. Let's say you have an API where you can read this information and you get this back, color of green and velocity of a million. What if you decide that you want more colors than just the sort of standard string green? You might want to change that to something like this. But what happens if you do that? Anyone who's expecting the string green, their application is going to break, because now they're getting back a hex code for their color. So what you do is make the original one API version 1 and the new one API version 2, and that way people can gracefully migrate their software from one approach to another. There's multiple ways to version an API. We don't have to go into too much detail here, but this is kind of a religious debate. You can version an API by passing some sort of param, maybe like in the query string, ask for version 2. You can do it right in the URL, get API v2 records. Or you can do it in an accepts header in the HTTP request. And you will find people who have good arguments for all of these. Purists tend to like the bottom. The middle one is pretty good for easy caching, but it's trade-offs. Anyone have a strong opinion on this? Anyone really like one or two? Or three? Okay. Some votes for two and three, mostly. Next, provide smart validations in your API. If you're taking data in, you probably want to validate it. And you can do that in better or worse ways. So let's say this is an API request, and someone sends in an API key of not a real key. What do you do? Well, you could do this. You could return a 500 internal server error because you didn't find the key. But that's not very informative, and 500 responses mean that it's a problem on your side. When in reality, it's a client problem, right? So you can get a little better by changing the status code to 401 unauthorized. But you can do better than that, too. Why not return something about what's wrong? So errors, API key not found. And why not go a step further and actually validate what it was? So the API, not only is API key not found, but API keys do not include spaces. If you build web applications, you do this for user-submitted forms anyway, right? You validate the params that people post to your site. This is the exact same thing, only provided to an API. And you can even go one step further than that. Why not actually explain not just the problem, but how they solve it? So API key to example.com to retrieve your API key. The developer who finds this as they're trying to integrate with your application is really, really going to appreciate it when they run into it. Another example. What's wrong with this JSON here? It's missing a comma. That's a really easy problem to make. You've probably made it 100 times yourself. So again, you could return a 400 bad request and say this is like a malformed request, right? But why not embed a simple JSON parser in your API? and actually tell them exactly what's wrong with the structure of that. Next, support both JSON and XML. If you want to support everyone in the market, you really have to do this, unfortunately. And the reason is that this guy here probably doesn't know what JSON is and thinks it might be a security risk. And this guy is not going to use XML on principle. The good news is that it's fairly easy to support both. With a few small exceptions, they're basically just ways of structuring data, and you can translate both into some sort of common hash structure or whatever your language uses. In Ruby on Rails, for example, if you provide a content type that says whether it's XML or JSON, it'll automatically be parsed and put into a hash, JSON and XML. Next, document your API. An undocumented API is utterly worthless. You can't figure out an API from, you know, clicking around or whatever. At Zencoder, we wrote a little DSL for our API docs. So every API setting has something like this: has a tip, has a description, has valid has a data type and valid values, and we can basically turn that dynamically into documentation where we can show JSON and XML examples. It's fairly simple to use. The next step that we haven't done would actually be using this data structure to validate API requests. And I know people have done, has anyone done that here? I know there's companies who are doing that, and it's a pretty effective way to ensure API integrity. Real quick, build client libraries in whatever languages you want. Support your API with humans. APIs are scary. If an API is important to your customer, they're basically outsourcing core functionality to a black box, which is a good thing if you do it right. But if something goes wrong and they can't get a hold of you or you don't support it, it's an unstable position. Make it fast. You don't have to treat API requests the same way as you treat a full stack web request, and you can optimize them differently. Rate limit your API. What's this right here? This is an accidental denial of service attack, and people using an API who maybe accidentally forget an exit condition in a loop as they talk to your API can flood your API with requests accidentally, which causes problems for everyone. We log every API request in our system, so you can actually browse through a web interface and get details of every API request that comes in, which is useful for troubleshooting. We have a request builder tool where you can basically interactively kind of build up what a valid request looks like, and it kind of creates a JSON for you. So you can basically cut and paste this little bit into your application and makes integration easy. I promised at the outset that we'd not just talk about APIs, but we'd talk about how you can use awesome APIs to make friends, get rich, and change the world. So let's see if we can make good on that promise. First, make friends. Another tweet. Redacted is so awesome, I'd like to offer the developers free hugs. This is someone we've never met who's offering free hugs based on an API. It's kind of cool. I think the reason for this is that in something like APIs, awesomeness is noticed. People really, really care about that sort of last little bit of incremental value. I don't know what the term for this is. There's probably some economics term, but like, I don't know. It's like an asymmetric value curve. That sounds good. So there's a lot of things in life where as quality increases, the value that it provides maybe increases linearly. Then there's other things where as quality gets better and better, the increment of value starts to diminish. And then there's places where the increment of value is really high. So bus driving, I think, is an example of this curve. Imagine like the best possible bus driver, specifically in their ability to drive a bus, not like a bus driver who like fights crime or anything. How much better is the best possible bus driver than the median bus driver? The worst possible bus driver, on the other hand, is pretty bad. But then there's things that sort of match this pattern. I think sports is one of them. The absolute best tennis player in the world is not just a little bit better than like the 1,000th tennis player. And developer-facing tools like APIs, I think, really follow this curve. As you continue to sort of make them better and better and better, people notice.